listening to the radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapters 14 through 17 is where Pastor Sandy will be teaching today.
You know, it reminds me of Jesus' departure from Jerusalem after being rejected by the religious establishment during that last week. And you remember what Jesus did from the top of the Mount of Olives. He wept over the city, just as David here weeps. And it's interesting, perhaps both David and Jesus, the son of David, wept at the very same spot. Remember, too, the Garden of Gethsemane is on the Mount of Olives. And it's possible that David wept over the betrayal of his son Absalom at the very same spot where Jesus would weep just hours before his betrayal by Judas. Some interesting parallels going on here. Yeah, it's interesting. Jesus told a parable of 10 virgins who needed to keep oil in their lamps and be ready for his return. And it's interesting, David left behind 10 concubines back in the palace waiting on him to return. Some interesting parallels. Well, verse 31. Then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, Oh Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. For you see, David was afraid of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a shrewd man. He was a wise man. And David knew that he would give good counsel to Absalom. And so he says, Lord, turn his counsel into foolishness. Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God. And notice this. This shows you David's heart. In the midst of David's weeping, he worships God. Somebody told me this morning, didn't actually see it, but yesterday they were interviewing Mark Richt after the Georgia game. And they said, well, you've had a hard month there, Coach Rick. You know, I bet you're really thankful to God. I bet you're really praising God, you know, after this victory, kind of being sarcastic to him. And the guy told me this morning, he said, Rick turned and he snapped right back and he said, hey, I praise God whether we win or whether we lose. Now let's talk about the game. I like that. But hey, David, I mean, he's weeping. This is his worst defeat. And yet notice what he's doing. He's worshiping God. God is worthy to be worshiped in the good times and in the bad times. Psalm 3 is prefaced. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Let me encourage you to go home tonight and read Psalm 3 in parallel with this Bible study. I like how that psalm begins. And again, these are David's words as he's leaving the city. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. And I love how he ends Psalm 3. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing is upon your people. Read that psalm tonight, Psalm 3. Well, verse 32 tells us David worshiped. As David worshiped, there was Hushai, the Archite, coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. And David said to him, if you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will now also be your servant. Then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. David plants another mole. Hushai, the private eye. Hushai, the spy guy. Sent right back into Absalom's inner circle. Do you not have Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, with you there? Therefore, it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests. Indeed, they have with them their two sons, that guy, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send me everything you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Chapter 16. When David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. And the king said to Ziba, "What do you mean to do with these?" And so Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink." And then the king said, "And where is your master's son?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem. For he said, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" You remember Mephibosheth? He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. And here Ziba is accusing him of staying behind, thinking that David is now going to be dethroned and the kingdom will go back to the dynasty of Saul and perhaps he'll be in line. Of course, we're going to find out later that that may have not been Mephibosheth's attitude at all. It may have just been Ziba putting words in his mouth. Well, so the king said to Ziba, "Here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." And we're going to find out later that David doesn't really know which one of them to believe. Mephibosheth's going to tell one story. Ziba's going to tell the other story. And so David's just going to split all the goods in half and say, "Half's yours and half's yours." And, you know, you ever had that with two kids? You didn't know which one to believe. And so you just cut the dog in half. Half's yours, half's yours. And Ziba said, "I humbly bow before you that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king." And later this, as I said, this crippled Mephibosheth will claim that Ziba, you know, made all this look like, you know, he was forsaking David and pledging his loyalty to Absalom. But all the time, you know, Mephibosheth was crippled. He couldn't move. And so he was stuck there. Ziba got out before, didn't give him a ride. What's a cripple got to do? So we'll find that out later. Now, when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. I mean, David's misfortune now brings out all of the Saul sympathizers. Shimei is one. He never liked David. Now that he's being kicked out of Jerusalem, he's happy about it. So he goes out and he starts throwing rocks and cursing David. And Shimei said thus when he cursed, "Come out, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue." This guy's got some nerve. These are insults he's hurling toward the king. "The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man." Now Shimei is not only flirting with David's judgment, but he's also flirting with God's judgment. He's putting some words in God's mouth. Notice that. Let me suggest to you, always be careful what you call a judgment from God. Right after Hurricane Katrina, there were some folks that started talking about how the storm was God's judgment on the evil city of New Orleans. You know, when I got down there, I discovered the only problem with that theory is that it affected just about every part of the town except the French Quarter in Bourbon Street. They were the most wicked parts of New Orleans. And they were the ones that came out unscathed. I mean, Bourbon Street's back up and running with their, you know, their perversions and drunkenness and party, you know, a couple of days after the hurricane. The hurricane didn't even touch the most wicked part of the town. If Katrina was a judgment from God, why in the world did it wipe out poor Pastor Kevin's house and not the strip joints? Be careful what you call God's judgment. Sometimes we can be real rash and end up wrong, as was Shimei. Verse 9. "Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, 'Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head.'" That's one way of shutting a guy up. Let's take off his head. You know, isn't it amazing? You know, we've seen this before. People always trying to help David get ahead. Isn't that interesting? But the king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.'" You remember when James and John, when Jesus was rejected by the Samaritans, and James and John said, "You know, what should we do? Call fire down from heaven." And Jesus says, "Oh, you sons of thunder, you know, what am I to do with you?" And or more or less. And that's kind of what David says to the sons of Zeruiah. "You guys are trigger happy. So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" And David said to Abishai and all his servants, "See how my son who came from my own body seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." Oh, what a merciful heart. "And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and kicked up dust. Now all the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there." Verse 15, "Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. And so it was when Hushai the Archite, the private eye, the spy guy, you remember him? David's friend came to Absalom that Hushai said to Absalom, 'Long live the king, long live the king.' So Absalom said to Hushai, 'Is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend?" He knew Hushai and his father were real close buddies. "And Hushai said to Absalom, 'No, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so will I be in your presence.'" And of course, this was all a lie. It's part of the sabotage, part of the espionage that's at work here. "Well, then Absalom said to Ahithophel, 'Give counsel as to what we should do.' And Ahithophel said to Absalom, 'Go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong.'" In the Oriental world in ancient times, when a new king took over the throne, he inherited his predecessor's harem. And Ahithophel's motive here behind this maneuver is to signal to the people a new regime. And yet from God's perspective, this was a judgment that God had predicted on David for his sin with Bathsheba. You remember what God told David? "What you did secretly will be done to you openly." And so now Absalom, he makes a scene of this and takes David's concubines and defiles them, you know, openly in front of all of the nation. And I think Ahithophel had one more motivation. Yeah, he did this to my granddaughter. I'm going to see to it that it's done to him, but openly in a disgraceful, abominable kind of a way. And so they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house. And Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And it brought great shame to David. And Ahithophel, trust me, Ahithophel relished every moment of this. He finally gets the revenge that he's been waiting on for years. In his commentary here, David Guzik, he writes this: "Ahithophel was willing to see these women abused, Absalom grievously sin, and the kingdom of Israel suffer greatly, all simply to satisfy his bitter longing for revenge." Guys, I'm telling you, bitterness will go to no ends to get its revenge. That's why you need to pull up that root of bitterness in your heart before it grows even further. "Well, now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired of the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom." In other words, Ahithophel was a master strategist. And when it came to these kind of political maneuverings and power plays and wranglings, he knew all the right strings to pull at just the right times. He was brilliant. chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace." And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. I mean, at that moment, David is resting by the road. This was wise counsel. Now is the time to strike. David is still reeling. He's yet to regroup. Absalom has Big Mo on his side. He's got the momentum. Now is the time to strike while the iron is hot. Then Absalom said, "Now call Hushai and let us hear what he says to do." And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him saying, "Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up." So Hushai said to Absalom, "The advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time." Now remember, Hushai is on David's team. He's working undercover. He knows it was great counsel. But it's not good for David. "For," said Hushai, "you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field." Now you remember, they're sitting by a pond somewhere refreshing themselves. They're beat. But he pictures them as these wild bears. "And your father is a man of war and will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place." Hushai paints David as this desert fox. He's cunning. He's adept at wilderness warfare. You attack his camp, chances are he won't be there anymore. He's an Osama bin Laden. He's kind of like a mountain rabbit. You won't be able to get him anyway. He has holes everywhere to hide in. Now really, he's just sitting by a pond soaking his feet. His feet are tired. The truth be known, David had probably been years since David had slept out under the stars. I mean, he'd been living the pampered life of a king. "And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first that whoever hears it will say, 'There is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.' And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men." Your father's sneaky. He'll strike first. He'll strike hard. "And even if your army wins a battle, the initial news will be of your casualties and David's surprise attack. And it might just discourage your troops." You see what he's doing here? Now, Ahithophel's counsel was exactly what Absalom needed to do to defeat David. Hushai knew it. This is why Hushai gives him a different story. "Therefore, I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will follow him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he has withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there." Ahithophel has said, "Strike quickly, use your speed." Hushai suggests a show of force. "Take your time, rally all the men of Israel. Take your time, man." He's really buying time for David. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom." God saw to it that Ahithophel's plan was rejected and Hushai's was adopted. "Well, then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, 'Thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over." This time, cross over the Jordan River, "lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up." Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz, these were the priest's sons, they stayed at Enrogel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. Their cover was blown. They're ratted out. Now they're in grave danger. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Baharim who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Then the woman took and spread a covering over the whale's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the women at the house, they said, "Where are those guys? They're hot on their trail." And so the woman said to them, "They have gone over the water brook." And when they had searched and could not find him, they returned to Jerusalem. Whew, they made it. Now it came to pass after they had departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said to David, "Arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you." And at that point, it must have still been up in the air exactly whose plan they would choose. And so David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. They successfully engineered a night crossing of the Jordan River. Cross the Jordan in the dark was no small task. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died, and he was buried in his father's tomb. Do you remember what Judas did after he betrayed Jesus and then realized he had made an awful mistake? He too went out and hung himself. Ahithophel was so proud a person that he couldn't stand that his advice had been rejected, and so he went home. And he hung himself. It's been said, bitterness is an acid that does far more damage on where it's stored than on where it's poured. And Ahithophel is proof. Bitterness, revenge, that need to be vindicated mattered more to Ahithophel than his own life. And a brilliant man ends in a bitter death. Well, then David went to Mahanaim. And remember, this was Ishbosheth's former capital. And imagine, on that night, he laid down in bed with Bathsheba. Imagine on that night, he never dreamed that one day he would be a fugitive king on the run from his own son, held up in the capital of the disgraced son of Saul, Ishbosheth. How could he have ever put those two things together? But it happened. And that is exactly why he's in this bed in Mahanaim, is because he went to bed with Bathsheba. I'm telling you, the sins you think nobody will ever discover, will ever find out, trust me, everyone will find out, and they'll have long-lasting repercussions. And Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him, and Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. And do you think Joab liked that? No. Then Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite, who had gone into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. In other words, he was Joab's cousin. And so Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead, which of course was east of the Jordan River. And that happened when David had come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash from Rabbah, of the people of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodebar, and Bezaleel, the Gileadite from Rogalim, brought beds and basins, earthen vessels, and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." And notice David finds supporters east of the Jordan there in Gilead. And these three relatively obscure men come out of nowhere to provide David aid at a very strategic time. It's been said, friends in need are friends indeed. And David finds some true friends.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.